Many Haitians are under, Jabti's own brother was killed in the streets. They fled to Dominican Republic. Mallory was 9 months pregnant, and they then came to the United States and have been in Florida a bit, and then have come here to Missouri. I've just been amazed at hearing some of their story, and I think you would too. So I've just asked them, Jabti, to come and just share a little bit of his testimony today.
There you go, brother. Thank you so much, Pastor. Good morning, church. And how are you today? You good? I can see that on your face. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. For those who don't know my name yet, my name is Jabti Pierre. The full name is Jabti Pierre. It sounds very difficult for some people because it's a French name, but if you say Jeff, I'll be okay with that. So my wife's name is Maloui Bosejo. She was singing here. I always say that she's the most beautiful woman on the world. Yes. Oh, you guys agree with that? So I thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to have her. Today, I stand before you only because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. How many of you know God is mercy? And his grace is for forever. I come from Haiti, and my family has walked through deep valleys. I remember the first tragedy came when my father had a stroke in Haiti, and they called me in the middle of the night, and I tried to take them and to put them in at the hospital. We spent 15 hours in the ward. Because of the gangs violence in Haiti, it's kind of difficult. All the ward was blocked, and we stay here for 15 hours. Imagine someone has a stroke. The first thing that you have to do is to do a surgery, right? And we spent 15 hours with him. Unfortunately, a few days after a lot of struggle, he passed away. And he had only 56 years old at that time. It was in 2020, and it was in the middle of COVID. There is no wards, and there is no hospital too. It's kind of very difficult because everybody afraid even to touch somebody. You know the COVID. And my father passed away, and 3 days after I had my brother, we came to the funeral. And 3 days after, they called me, and they say, John, someone just killed my brother. And he had only 30 years old. That means I have to do another funeral. It's kind of very hard for the family, and it was the first in the family, the first child in the family. And someone just killed him. You know, in Haiti, where I lived, there was a lot of gangs, a lot of violence, and it's kind of hard. And my father was a pastor in the area. That's mean we've been a target. We have schools, we have so many stuff. And when you already, if someone think you have money, the gangs, if they think that you have money, that mean you are a target for them. And that was the situation in Haiti. So like I said, 3 days after I received the call, and I lost my brother. That was my friend. And my heart was broken. And my family was crushed. And in the middle of our pain, my wife became pregnant with two baby girls. And it was a twin baby girls. Because we married in 2018, and we didn't have any children yet. And after 2 years in 2020, my wife got pregnant. At that time, we believed that God was giving us a reason to smile because we've been through a lot. Also, again, also because of the gang violence, everywhere in the capital is blocked, and we could not have the proper medical care for her. She has a twin. That's been a lot. That's mean it's she need more care than when you have one baby. So it's kind of very hard for her. And the only doctor that we had in the area was negligent. The only one. And he didn't have the proper equipment to take care of her. I remember one time we went to a visit and everything was normal. It was a normal visit. And we came to him and the thing that he told us that the babies are not breathing. That's mean we lost our two beautiful daughters. Again, at that point we were tired, afraid, and carrying heavy grief. So we left Haiti and we went to Dominican Republic, hoping to rebuild, because we seems like destroyed. But the life there was also hard. Immigration problem for Asian people, discrimination, and instability made every day difficult. Sometimes when you go on the road, you have to look out to see because there is immigration everywhere and they're looking for Asian people. But one day my wife and we pray together. That's what we used to do. And we ask God, Lord, take us out of here. Because we've been to Haiti. We've been trying to find a place to have a peace. And we're still in struggle in Dominican Republic because of a lot of things, immigration stuff, like I said. And I asked God to open a door for us to go to the United States, to come here. And at that time, church, all the embassy in Haiti was closed. And it seems like impossible. There is no immigration. There is no embassy. You know, Haiti, everything is closed since 2022. But one thing I know, in Luke 1, verse 37, it says, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. And no longer after we pray, I remember I pray God, and I told my wife, it was December 31st. We tried to make the last prayer to finish the year. And I told my wife, you never know. Even it's kind of difficult to go to the embassy to get a visa to come to the U.S., but you never know. God can ask the president and tell him, you have to let some people come to the United States. When I say that, it was a joke, Pastor, because there is no way for a president of the American call Asian people to come in the U.S. It's not fair. And after a few days, I was watching Facebook, and I saw President Biden. And he said, I want to start a program for Asian people to come. And the program was unbelievably quick. It was very quick. I filled the paper on January 7, on January 9, they answer us. They say, hey, come. We want you to come here. And it was an easy process without visa. And legally, we come here. At that time, God blessed us with another baby when we was in Dominican Republic, and that was Joy, the girl that you see wearing her on here. And I think my wife was very afraid because she don't want to do the same experience that she did before. You remember that she just lost two baby girls. And she don't want to do the same experience. She said, no, I'm not going to travel. I said, baby, no, you're going to do it. Because that's God's answer. And she had only 9 months. She was like this. And I let her the opportunity to travel, and we travel. The day that we're trying to take the plane, and I know, how do you say that? Compliment detail. There was a half crate in Dominican Republic the same day. I ran away. There was a great half crate. I said, no, be careful. We're going to do it. That's the devil. And she came here. When she entered the U.S., the officer said, oh, it's two or three people that came here. She was like this. And a few days or a few weeks after, God blessed us with Joy Harvey, our first daughter. We arrived in the U.S., and little by little, God began to restore everything with us. I'm so grateful today. He has blessed us with two beautiful daughters. We lost two daughters, and God blessed us with two beautiful daughters. And they are awesome. You can see that, right? And not only that, but God put peace back in our heart. And that's the thing I wanted to have, peace. Because like I told you, in Haiti, and my wife, at the same, I forget to tell you that too, but my wife lost also her mother. She had cancer. The doctor said, you're only going to spend 1 week and you're going to die. And when they called me, my wife was pregnant. That's when we have to go back to Haiti, where we've been, because she was living in Haiti. There was no choice. We go back to Haiti. We spent a lot of woods with gangs, a lot of stuff, to go back where we lived before. And then we come here. But the story, the moral of the story, when we come here, that God give us peace, and we have peace on our heart. Now we might don't have everything we want, but we have Jesus. And he is enough. How many of you know God is enough? And we have it. Even of the trouble, even of everything we don't have, but we have Jesus. Church, I want to say this. They are here. The kids? Oh, the cancer? No, she died. No, I'm talking about my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my mother-in-law. But as many of you know, pain is a frequent teacher. But the Bible says, rejoice in your suffering. Because suffering producing, right? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And you know, hope is a gift from the Lord. Church, I want to say this before I finish my testimony. If I can only do one thing to be grateful with God, I will share my faith all day. That's what I'm going to do. If they ask me to do one thing, I will share my faith with everybody. Because every day I'm looking for opportunities to share my faith with somebody. I always say this, I want people who don't know me. I want people who don't know God, but they know me to want to know God because they know me. And that's my goal. Because I know I'm here for a purpose. If God saved me in Haiti, that's mean he have a goal for me. And God has always have a goal for his children. And also, before I finish, I just want to share a word of thanks. Because God also put people to bless us. You know, when God gonna bless you, he use human being. I want to thank my brother who are here, Negat. He's here. How many of you know Negat? Yeah, he's the MD director here. He's the MD. He's back there. We've been friends since we were in Haiti. And one thing I love with Negat, that he loves Jesus. Because I can't have a friend who don't love Jesus. He loves Jesus, and another thing with Negat, he takes everything seriously. He takes everything seriously. And I'm grateful for him. But through Negat connect me to Stanley Lambert. A man who felt like a divine answer from the very beginning. I asked Nego last week, but who is Stanley? But he don't know me well. And he do everything like he knew me before. And not for me, but for everybody. And I love this man so much, and I'm grateful for Stanley. Through Stanley, Stanley connect me to Pastor Gary and Sister Linda. So last week I cried because I said, they don't know me. It's insecure to open your home for somebody that you don't know. But since they know Stanley and they trust Stanley and they know Jesus and they know also I'm Jesus' friend, I'm Jesus, they open their home to receive me and my wife. And I'm so grateful for that. And Pastor Gary say one thing. No, you don't have to pay nothing. Stay here whenever you want. And when God gives you the opportunity to leave, and you will leave. And he pray for us. And he treat like a family. Thank you so much, Pastor Gary. And thank you so much, Sister Linda. Thank you so much, so much. And through Stanley again. Wow, Stanley again. I met Rosie. I met Alan. I met Dana. I met Miss Barb, right? And through Stanley, I met the Liberty Life Center Church. Thank you so much for welcoming here. Rosie told me something that I want to share to you. When Stanley trying to help me, and we met, I remember it was Dukini something, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, and you say, yeah, we are just here, and we're trying to help him. Was it, no, don't take it personally, take it like a group, I have to be part. I said, oh, and she don't know me. Last time I told was it that, and she said, yeah, that's God, that's how God's walk. She walk with people. And when God bless you, he's going to tell everybody that, because that's what he do every day. That's what he do. And thing, before I finish, I want to say this. You didn't just welcome us. You became part of our story. And we are grateful. Church, my testimony is simple. God is faithful. He can restore what was lost. He can open doors that no man can shut. And he can turn pain into purpose. And to him be all the glory. Thank you, Pastor.
Very grateful to have come to meet this family and all of our Haitian brothers and sisters. And I wanted Jeffrey to share a little bit today, too, because, well, like you said, they've been staying in the apartment that really is provided by this church. That's part of a program, a ministry that we had called the IPU. We have an apartment there that has been furnished for that and for others as well. Grateful also to God has provided a home for them that they are moving in tomorrow. Is that correct? Yeah, praise God. But that one won't be free. And so, you know, when they came to here, they came with nothing. They came pretty much with the clothes on their back. They had to rent a car to get here. They are just trusting God day by day. Because of the immigration stuff that's going on, it's been very difficult for them to find employment because of the visas are still trying to work through all of that, to have work visas. And in the meantime, he's starting up a cleaning business. So just to get him through that, if you know people that would, maybe some of you would like to have your house cleaned or a business cleaned, he can do that. You got your cards made yet? You got your cards? But you're working on it. You got to, okay. But anyway, talk to him. If you have any kind of people, anybody that might know that. We're also today, just so we can bless them, maybe we can get a whole month's rent for them for this next month. I'm putting an offering box in the back, and I'm just asking you to pray and ask the Lord, how can we bless this couple who certainly already blessing us in a number of ways. Anything would help. So let's pray right now. Father God, I thank you that you are our provider. And I love the testimony that Jephthah has shared, Father. We know that with you all things are possible. That, Lord, if we don't have anything, Lord, we have you, that's enough. And I know that's in their heart. But Father, we also know that you use your people to bless others and to bless one another. So, Father, as you are just speaking to us now, may we be faithful to give as you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I got a short message today, but I do want to show one other thing, another video, because many of you don't know anything about, you know, Joel Richardson, of course, has been here a number of times, but you don't know what this video is about. Just a little 2-minute video clip of this movie that's going to be shown here this Friday at 6:30. Nope, got that wrong. 5:30. You're going to meet here at 5:30. The movie starts at 6. Okay.
The story of the return of Jesus is actually told throughout the Old Testament. You know, we all know the story of the parting of the Red Sea. The sea splits. The next morning, they're looking back at the bodies of Pharaoh and his most elite armies. And the Lord is basically saying, can your old boyfriend do this? This most just magnificent, majestic miracle. There's nothing in the Bible like it. The story of that, it's intended to be understood as a prophetic foreshadow.
The gospel is the Father's, and it's Jesus' gospel.
The God who split the sea is someday going to split the sky and come back and save us. In the same way that the Lord saved his people at the last minute, he will come back at the last minute and save us.
The king who came once to break the power of sin and death, and he's coming again to rule and reign and restore all things.
Even him who will rule the Gentiles, and in him will the Gentiles hope.
It's, by the way, not Oriental exaggeration like some liberal scholars try to say. It really means a divine rule over this present earth.
Which is an even better ending to the story.
Problem with earthly kingdoms.
That looks good, right? Yeah. Absolutely. So looking forward to that. 5:30, and that's, you know, come together, get some snacks and whatever, and then the video will start at 6 o'clock. Amen. All right. One other thing, you know, the mission trip to Mexico. That's going to be going. Those that's deadline for that is December 15th to sign up for that. It's in March, but Robin Paul is leading that. I think the cost is like $1,300. I mean, right off the bat, if you want to go, I want people from Liberty Life to go. If you're considering that, you know, we'll give a $300 scholarship right off the bat to anybody that wants to go. And we want to see people go and come back with a heart for mission. So please think about that, pray about that, and let Robin know as soon as possible. All right. As noted, 2 weeks ago, from now, Dale Cohen is going to be sharing in the Nurture class, as well as his morning worship service. He's going to be sharing his message. It's going to focus on the Jewish feast of Hanukkah. And we all know that Hanukkah is not one of the seven primary biblical appointed times, Lord. But it is one that we do celebrate, observe here at Liberty Life, because we recognize its significance in Jewish history, and therefore it's a significance in our history, because it was a demonstration. It demonstrates that even that kind of that behind the scenes hand of God that was at work in the Israel and the Jewish people at a time where, you know, Antiochus Epiphanes was basically the plan that he had was to assimilate them into the culture. The Jewish culture would be gone. It would wipe out the place for the Messiah to be born. So it was very significant in our history and something that we're going to talk about. But before we get to Hanukkah, I would like to share some thoughts of the activity surrounding the conception of Jesus, which occurred at this same time. It most likely occurred during the Feast of Hanukkah. As you know, then 9 months later, Jesus was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. But so I thought it would be a good message for today. And I want our thoughts to focus around that sudden transition. Remember, we've been talking about transition. I want to talk about that sudden transition that happened in this young couple's life during that time, that was thrust upon this young girl named Mary and her espoused husband, Joseph. And to know the story of this couple at that time of Jesus' conception, we have to go to two different gospels. You can't just go to one gospel and read about the story of read about the story of Joseph and Mary. You have to go to Matthew to hear the story of, find out about Joseph, and you got to go to Luke to hear the story about Mary. And you want to ask, well, why is that? Why didn't they just put them in, why didn't both of them speak about it? Because Matthew and Luke both had, they were looking from a different perception. They had a different focus of theology. And they were talking to two different groups of people. They were writing to two different groups of people. Matthew was focused on the Jewish audience and a gospel presentation that the events of Joseph to emphasize his lineage, to emphasize the lineage of David, the legal claim to the throne of David, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. Luke, on the other hand, was speaking to more of the Gentile world, the non-Jewish audience, and he emphasizes God's concern for the humble, God's concern for the marginalized. And so Luke, therefore, details the story of Mary, her perspective, including her submission to God's will and the visitation by the angel Gabriel to her. And this visitation came to her directly, not just in a dream as it did to Joseph. So I'm going to read both today, but to give a full context and to share some thoughts. But before I do that, let me also emphasize that at this time, Mary and Joseph are betrothed. So you think, think about like being engaged to be married. But unlike engagements, betrothal, those are legally binding covenants or contracts. So remember, in Jewish culture, there are two phases to marriage. I want you to understand this in the context of, so when you're reading about Mary and Joseph, you see this is the context in which they're in. In Jewish culture, there are two phases of marriage, a betrothal period, the erusin, or the erusin, which begins with a legally binding covenant, only broken by death or formal divorce. Any breach of faithfulness during this period of time is considered to be adultery and is punishable by death. Joseph's father or parents had most likely arranged, selected Mary to be Joseph's wife. That arranged marriage is called the shaduk. And a written marriage contract called the ketubah, which listed the responsibilities and the obligations of the husband to the wife. That ketubah had been agreed upon and signed by witnesses. And a bride price, called a mohar, was then paid by Joseph's father to Mary's father. And from this point forward, they are considered, at this stage, they are considered husband and wife. However, they were not legally able to consummate their marriage until after the second step of marriage, the marriage process called the nishuin, or the formal taking home. The husband would go and get the bride, and there'd be a great procession to the home that's been established, and then there's the wedding feast and the consummation of their marriage. And during this betrothal time, Mary and Joseph were considered married in the eyes of the law, but they did not live together and they did not have physical relations. And this interval between the erusin and the nishyon would last as long as a year. And during that time, Mary would be learning all the things that was necessary for being a wife and the upcoming move that they were preparing for that home. And so keep that in mind as I read these two accounts. So I'm starting in Matthew, and this is Joseph's account. They'll bring up Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, so there's the after, the before and the after, but it's in between there, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Joseph, or Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. So that all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took him to his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, let's a story from Luke. Now, let's get this story from Luke and focus on Mary. Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel appeared to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even Elizabeth, your relative, have conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it happen to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. Now, there are a lot of things I could focus on theologically right now. For one, being the essential need for Jesus to be born of a virgin. The essential need for Jesus to be born of a virgin, not only to fulfill prophecy, but also to be born without a sin nature. The inherited sin nature is passed down from the Father's biological line, a process that was not part of Jesus' conception. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, conceived of the divine nature, not by the seed of man. Because he did not have a sin nature, he was able to give a sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world. And because he was born of woman, born a baby, lived in human flesh, he was also fully human, and he could represent all of humanity on that cross. So important as Christians to understand Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man, both fully human and fully divine. Otherwise, he could not die for the sins of the world. But today, I don't want to focus on the theological significance of the conception of Jesus, but rather on the incredible transition that was forced upon this young couple at the announcement of their being chosen as Jesus' earthly parents. Obviously, Mary was very young. In Jewish culture at that time, young girls were betrothed between the ages of 12 and 15 years of age. Joseph, if at the age of most men who were married at that time, would have been between 17 and 18. Just think of what that must have been like for them. I mean, they're teenagers, just kids. Well, I mean, obviously, young people back there were much more mature than young people today, but still, nevertheless, they were very young. And one day, Mary's thoughts are consumed. I mean, they're betrothed. I mean, her thoughts are consumed with the wedding that's going to be taking place and all the multitude of people that are going to be coming and all the plans that have to be made and, you know, what it's like to, you know, what I have to learn to be a wife and a mother, and oh, that's what's consuming her thoughts. And, you know, at that time, you know, a wedding lasted 7 days. I mean, the wedding lasted 7 days. Look how much time we spend working with one-day wedding people, one-hour wedding thing. You know, we go on and on, but man, for 7 days, you know, you got to make sure they don't run out of wine, that's for sure. And so one day, Joseph is getting his home ready. Likely he's begun building a house, a room, onto his father's house. The insula is what that was called, or the courtyard. And the father had a courtyard, and then all the, as children married, as the family enlarged, they would just build onto it. We saw evidence of that when we were in Israel. You know, Joseph is making sure it's well built. After all, he was a carpenter. His dad is not going to let him off easy. It's got to be done right. He's looking forward to seeing Mary's expression when she comes, and amazement when he brings her to the home at the time of their nishuan. And one day, they're just experiencing all these normal expectations of a young, of a betrothed Jewish couple. And then in a moment, everything changes. Angels appear. Dreams are given. Divine proclamations come. Instructions are given. They weren't expecting or asking for any of this, but it would radically shake their world. Think about just what it had been like for Mary and Joseph. They were forced to transition from the natural to the supernatural. They were forced to transition. They were what they were expected from what they expected to what was unexpected, from their human plans to God's plans. How do you make that kind of a transition? If you're reading commentaries on these passages, most will talk about how Mary was not chosen or highly favored because of any personal qualities or disciplined character traits. Mary's favor is seen as entirely a gift of God. She was a humble servant chosen by God for the unique purpose of bearing Jesus. Her specialness is the result of God's unmerited favor, not a cause of it. And this perspective is emphasizing God's sovereign choice and grace acting through just an ordinary human being. On the other hand, on the other side of that, you've got the Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. Mary is considered an exceptional and uniquely holy individual, specifically prepared by God for her role as the Mother of God. These traditions hold doctrines such as the Immaculate Conception, which teaches that she was conceived without original sin, as evidence of her unique personal purity and holiness from the very beginning of her existence, which makes her a fitting vessel for Christ. Her personal holiness is seen as both a divine gift and a reason for God's choice and high favor. But the truth is somewhere between those two. Mary was not without sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nor was she conceived without sin. She carried the sin. She was born of a man by the name of Heli. And she carried the sin nature of Adam. But on the other hand, I believe Mary was not without a high level of virtue, without a high level of faithful obedience to her parents and to the teachings of Torah. I think her life pleased the Lord and separated her from all the young girls of her age. I think her heart for the Lord made her a candidate for the blessing of God, and the position she would receive is highly favored to be used by the Lord to carry and give birth to the Christ. Throughout Scripture, don't we read where God blesses those who walk in His ways and do what pleases Him? Why did God have favor upon Enoch and take him without seeing death? What's the Scripture say? It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. He was blessed because he pleased God. Why did God bless Noah? Why did God choose Noah? It says in Genesis 6:9 that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That's why God chose him. Why did the Lord show favor on Mary and Joseph? I believe in part, or maybe a large part, because they pleased the Lord. And they desired, they strived to walk in His ways and to obey His commands. Mary was blessed because the Lord saw within her a humble, obedient, sexually and morally pure young woman who would be fit in raising up this child in a way that would be an example of the Lord. Joseph was a just man and upright, says the Scriptures. His promised husband being just and upright, says the Amplified. Joseph needed to be an earthly example of the Heavenly Father, that best possible earthly example. Yes, the Lord could have chosen any two people and just put in and just imparted into them grace and character to be the proper parents for Jesus, but I believe He chose them because they demonstrated discipline and demonstrated character and virtue that would be best in equipping a home that was stable, to be able to provide ongoing nurture and teaching, and to bring Jesus to an age to the age of maturity. I mean, we're taking this Son of God from a baby to take him through that. He had to grow up just like every other Jewish boy, and God was making sure that He chose those who would give him what he needed. Until that time when His calling into the mission to be the image of the invisible God and destroy all the works of the devil would take place. How were Joseph and Mary able to make this most difficult transition from a simple couple betrothed to be married to a couple favored by God to raise a long-hoped Messiah and the divine Son of God? I just have three words for you. Belief, humility, obedience. Belief, humility, obedience. Both Mary and Joseph belong to the hall of saints who walk by faith. The hall of faith, saints who walk by faith. They believed the most incredible messages. They just believed it and obeyed. I mean, Joseph, God just spoke to Joseph in a dream. He didn't even appear to him. He just spoke to Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sins. You know, if you find out your fiance is pregnant and you know you wasn't the one, what are you going to think? And, you know, if she says that, and she's going to give birth to the Most High. I was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give birth to the Most High God, and he will be great. He'll be the promised Messiah. He's going to be the throne of David. What are you going to naturally conclude? This woman's nuts. You know, she's a psychopath. She has some major psychological problems. But he's a just man. He doesn't want to see her be put to death for adultery. Certainly he has grounds to divorce her. But when an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, not even seeing, not even hearing, in an awakened state, Joseph believes. And what's he do? He acts on that belief. Amen. Mary's faith is no different. Mary, you're going to conceive in giving birth to a son. You're going to give him name Jesus. How can this be? I'm a virgin. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And to encourage her faith, the angel said, and, you know, your cousin Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant right now. She was barren. You know, she's of old age. She's way past childbearing. She's gonna receive it. She's going to bear a child. And there's where the angel said, no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Say it with me. No word from God will ever fail. You need to say that over yourself, because some of you are dealing with stuff. Jeff, you just said, you know, you're dealing with things that are just impossible. But you've had a word from the Lord. And the word of God gives us a word all the time to encourage and strengthen us in the faith. Nothing is impossible with him. No word from God will ever fail. And then Mary's response, I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to your word. That is incredible faith. The more difficult our transitions in life, the greater we must be in our faith. The greater our transitions, the greater must be our faith. Mary and Joseph believed. They had faith. And of course, their faith was demonstrated by obedience. Mary and Joseph both did what they were told to do without hesitation. But this obedience came at a great cost. Their reputations were likely destroyed. Their plans for a great wedding ceremony most likely never came to pass. And they would have to carry on responsibility of parenting that was never placed on anyone else. They were to be raising the Son of God. But they humbly accepted that word of God. And remember, those divine announcements were made just to them. It wasn't made to anybody else. Nobody heard. No, they didn't have a testimony from anybody else. Yeah, I heard it. I saw it. You know, no, they were totally alone in this. And because of that, they had to live in great humility in their community, remaining faithful to the Lord and continuing in obedience, where they were certainly marked as those who had soiled their betrothal by engaging in sexual relations. Joseph's carpenter business would likely never flourish, as the community would have assumed Joseph was the father of Mary's child. They no doubt continued to face significant social stigma and judgment. And because of that, they likely remained poor. We read in, you know, carpenters, tectones is what he really, the word says, which is really a skilled craftsman. There was a lot of places they could work and get decent income. Sepphoris was a city where Mary was born, just 3 miles away, and it was being kind of rebuilt. There was a lot of work to be done. A lot of carpenters, a lot of craftsmen were needed. But, you know, it says that they remained poor because when they came to present Jesus at the time that he is to be presented before the Lord, there was to be a sacrifice of a lamb. But for the very poor, they could just give two turtle doves or two young pigeons instead. And the scriptures record that's what they gave. They had nothing. They were very, very poor. And that normally that trade would have had, you know, wouldn't have been wealthy, but they would have had substantial amount. So this transition was in the perfect will of God, but that does not mean the transition was easy. I am bringing up this story today because sometimes transitioning out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light is often brings difficulty. It brings judgment, it brings social stigma, brings persecution from the world. Being a follower of Jesus in today's age, especially in other countries, parts and even parts of the world, or even in various areas of our own communities, it brings alienation, those who look down upon you and persecute you. It can bring a loss, personal dreams and plans. Find out you're a Christian, well, you don't get those positions. And in that transition, you may never see the greater blessings the Lord has this side of heaven. Joseph never saw Jesus' great ministry. Joseph never saw what God had promised. Somewhere after the age of 12, it's the last recorded place we have in scriptures of Joseph being part of the life there. Somewhere along the line, he died, and he never saw. But God's word will never fail. And so I'm just leaving you today with these two things. May we always be like Mary. Yes. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to your word. No matter what that may bring upon me, it does not matter. Lord, may it always happen according to your word. Yes. And may we also end up today like being like Joseph, to just arise and do what the Lord commands in faith and obedience and humility. Faith, obedience, humility. Let's, if the worship team, you want to come and just share one last chorus with us as we depart today. And, you know, just leave you with that, with those thoughts. I want to, next week, we'll take a little deeper into this and kind of see this Jewish wedding, the Jewish marriage, as such a great parallel to God's work through Christ and Jesus as the bridegroom. Ourselves as the bride, and to see ourselves in the position of those of that process that's taking place right now, from the betrothal to the coming marriage feast. And that's which we are seeing, and which I think probably you'll see in the movie, the video on Friday as well. But let's stand to our feet and let's give thanks. Some of you may need to go, and it's a little after, but Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony today. I thank you, Father, for the worship and your presence and, Lord, what you're doing in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to give. We give to the works of your kingdom around the world taking place and even right here locally, even as we think about the opportunity to give to Jeffy and Mallory. And Father, just so many others that are being blessed in this community during this Thanksgiving season. Lord, I'm praying for those in the warming shelters right now. And Father, for our own team that's being raised up to work there probably tomorrow night, thankful, Father, that you allow us to be participants in the work of your kingdom. May we always, Lord, continue to believe, to have faith. To have faith, Lord, and to truly obey, and to do so with great humility, Lord, because it's not about us. It's all about you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any prayer need today, you can come on up here and we'll pray with you. But if you need to go, may the peace of Christ go with you. And hope to see you throughout this week, Wednesday and Friday, and then again Sunday.
The worship team just want to remind you that we have a special service tonight at 6. So we started a worship night every Sunday night. Today is going to be our third Sunday. So you don't want to miss that. If you want to spend some time worship with the Lord, you have a testimony, you want to share, you want to spend more time worshiping, we're not worried, we're not counting time, we're just worshiping, you're welcome to join us and you won't regret it. So we are waiting for you tonight at 6 o'clock.
Amen. Amen.